was the night before SmackDown when all through the ring, not a wrestler was stirring, not even Sting. The championships were hung by the turnbuckles with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon will be there. The superstars were nestled all snug in their gear while visions of title shots brought them good cheer. And Becky Lynch in her goggles and Roman Reigns with his spear had just settled in from a long wrestling year. When out on the ramp, there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my seat to see what is the matter. Away to the Titantron, I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains, ready to see the clash. The pyro exploding with a brilliant red glow gave the luster of midday to the arena below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 wrestling reindeer. With a charismatic driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Mick. More rapid than a suplex, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Daniel, now Sasha, now Randy and Brock, on AJ, on Bailey, on Charlotte and The Rock. To the top of the stage, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As promos before a premium live event fly, when they met with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the Titantron, their courses they flew, with a sleigh full of presents, and St. Nicholas too. And then in an instant, I heard on the roof, the prancing and stomping of each little hoof. As I drew in my head, and was turning around, down the ramp, St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed in all spandex, from his head to his toes. His clothes were all glittered with sequins that glows. A bundle of belts he had flung on his back, and he looked like a promoter just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples so merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as Al Snow. The mic held tight in his hands was aglow, and the words that he spoke had a powerful flow. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke many words, giving all wrestlers fame, and filled all the stockings with merch and WWE 2K games. Then laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the ramp he rose. He sprang to his sled, to his team gave a shout, and away they all flew like a Royal Rumble bout. But I heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, happy SmackDown to all, and to all a good fight.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Not Your SmackDown Review. This is your holiday special from your SmackDaddies. I am Brad the Dad, and riding shotgun with me is Greg Father Feltham.
Bless you, my son.
And we are your SmackDaddies, but tonight we are your Christmas joy. We are the marshmallows in your hot chocolate. We are the rum in your eggnog. We are hopefully brightening your day, as we don't have a SmackDown to talk about this week, Greg.
Nah, that's because we're phoning this in like WWE probably is going to do, since there is no recorded show for the 29th. So we figured we'd do something a little bit different here tonight, Brad. Do you want to tell the people what our plans are here for this evening?
Yeah, we're going to talk about a couple of things. One, we decided that we were going to each pick something, like a wrestling-themed match. That was the only rule we put on it, was that we were going to give you a holiday-themed match or show, something produced by WWE or AEW that we thought you might enjoy watching. Because some of you probably have family and Christmas things and all that stuff. And then we thought, hey, wouldn't it be if you need something, like you end up, I don't know about you, Greg, but after a certain point of all the family hubble and bubble, there's like this lull between Christmas and New Year's. And I'm like, man, I got some free time. Why don't I watch some wrestling?
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're going to help them out with that tonight, with a little bit of information there of what to do.
And then we thought we'd tell a little bit, maybe a couple of Christmas traditions from the East Coast, because We are from a unique part of Canada. And each part of Canada, I'm learning, has its own little... Every part of the world has its own little holidays, traditions based upon whether you're celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah, whether you're celebrating Kwanzaa, or you're celebrating any number of holidays. And we are no different. We have family traditions, but we also have like, we're from Atlantic Canada. Greg's from Newfoundland. I'm from Nova Scotia. And we do weird things. Greg, do you want to go first, or do you want to rock, paper, scissors, or how do you want to do this?
No, I'll go first. So what I wanted to watch and talk about tonight is something that was released last December. It was the best of WWE. It was called Seasons Beatings, and it was put on WWE Network last December. It's 170 minutes long. So in this, it started off with Roddy Piper with his Christmas Carol, which I think was a TNT special from back in the day. We had Mr. McMahon over in Baghdad getting stunned by Santa Stone Cold. We had Stone Cold stunning Santa Claus on Raw. We had the 12 Days of Christmas from The Rock. We had a couple of matches in this, which was really kind of fun, including a John Cena and Trish Stratus versus Glamorella from a Raw in Toronto, which made me laugh an awful lot with Santino playing the heel. But I think one of my favorite parts in this was kind of an ongoing storyline that came up in it, and it was and I hate to mention this guy, but I'm going to in the context of this. It was Alberto Del Rio running over Santa Claus, and then the subsequent match of John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, with Santa Claus coming back to interfere in the match to help John Cena with the win.
And of course, who was Santa Claus?
Santa Claus was Mick Foley in that one, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So,
and really they didn't give an indication that it was Mick Foley until he came back in and used Mr. Sacco.
Yeah. But I think my favorite part of the whole special, was probably the ongoing thread in it of the Santa winning the 24/7 championship from The Rock. And was it, oh, sorry, not The Rock, R-Truth. And was it Tajiri?
Yeah.
In Central Park in New York, and riding on horses, and the referee just getting pissed and say, I've ran around the city all night with you guys. I'm going home. I'm cold. So I love that. So it was a great little special. Like I said, it's 170 minutes. So it's like 2 hours in length or so, 2.5 hours in length. So it's a great one of those things that you can just have on in the background. It's on Peacock Network. For those in the US and on WWE Network in Canada. But it's one of those things you can just throw on in the background and just kind of have on and keep an eye out. Like Dean Ambrose is on this, taking on Bray Wyatt. Bobby Lashley and Elias was fun on this. So, yeah, Big Show and Chris Jericho with Santa Claus. So, I mean, there's lots of fun stuff.
So I may go back and watch this special now, because you actually had the two matches that I were struggling with. The one I didn't pick was the Mick Foley as Santa Claus with John Cena versus Del Rio in the Santa Claus match. But the one I picked, and it, I think I went back and forth. There were probably three or four of these matches that sounds like they're all in this one special. But the one I wanted to suggest was from, it was in, it's in this special, but it's also on WWE Network as an episode of Raw. So it's from December 22nd, 2014. And it is the aforementioned match between Bray Wyatt and Dean Ambrose in a Miracle on 34th Street fight that is in the context of the feud that they're in at this point. But boy, oh boy, does this turn into, like, this goes from the traditional Miracle on 34th match to really just an excuse for these guys to beat the crap out of each other with weapons.
Oh, yeah.
It's a much more violent match than a traditional one. It is almost, yeah. And I won't spoil the match, because I think if you've forgotten how this match ended, which I happen to, it was incredible. Like, it was just a great match, start to finish, these two guys. And yeah, it's one of those things where I go back and go, boy, do I miss Bray Wyatt. And my thoughts and my prayers are going out to his family this Christmas, because this will be the first Christmas. So,
yeah.
And I thought, you know, what a better way to, like, I'm sure there's other ways I could remember him or pay tribute to him or, you know, besides sending out good thoughts for his family. It was just like, it just was like, man, like, yeah, the people that were most affected are his wife and his kids. But the, like, boy, did we lose a good one. And that's the kind of thing you, like, when you go back and watch matches from people that you remember from your childhood or from whatever, it's a chance to remember them and honor them. And, you know, like, I probably will watch this match again with one, either my son or my daughter, or have it on the background while I'm doing something where I know they'll be around, just so they can go, oh yeah, this guy was like amazing. Like, Dean Ambrose is still amazing, you know, wrestling as Jon Moxley now in AEW, but man, we were lucky to have Bray Wyatt for as long as we did. And yeah, some of the stuff he tried didn't work, but boy, oh boy, like, he always left us talking. And yeah, it's a real shame that, yeah, it's a shame. That's pretty much it. But he was, that match is an amazing testament to what a talented performer he was. And him and Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley, get credit for taking a concept. Like, there's a ton of those matches, but this match sticks out of the bunch of 34th.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. This was a great match. You're absolutely right. I enjoyed watching this one on that, in that collection. So yeah, go back, watch this collection. It's a fun little, you know, couple hours to watch. I watched it kind of in two parts. But yeah, great little show. I think definitely worth having on in the background while you're you know, decorating the Christmas tree, or, you know, baking, Christmas baking, or, I mean, maybe it's, you've got friends over and, you know, there's some Attitude Era stuff in here. So it's some great old stuff that you can watch and, you know, not have to think of some of the stuff that's on TV now that makes you want to pull your hair out.
You know what? Maybe that would be a good suggestion for a Newfoundland tradition. I think you should explain, because I think this should be a tradition that goes out, because I actually planned an event that I'm doing this weekend with the this idea in mind, because you told me about it a few years ago. So you, do you want to explain what happens on the 23rd of December in the great province of Newfoundland?
Yes, I can. The 23rd of December is, it's almost, I would say it's almost become a sacred day in Newfoundland and Newfoundland lore. It is the unofficial start of the Christmas season. I mean, everyone's heard of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, but December 23rd kicks this off. It's almost like, you know, Brad, I'm going to borrow from your work and your language at work. You kind of have those, you have your feast days, but you have like that preparatory day in advance, the anticipation day. That's what December 23rd is. This is a festival or a feast in Newfoundland called Tibbs, T-I-B-B-S Eve. It may also, it's also known, depending on the location and the locale in Newfoundland, as Tips, T-I-P-P-S, or Tipsy. And the reason that it may have some of these different names is because it is the kickoff of the Christmas season, where you are, how's the word to say this? Widely encouraged to start indulging in Christmas cheer, particularly of the alcoholic variety. The name of Tibbs has probably been slurred over the years to Tips and Tipsy. That's what it is. So it's an excuse to drink before the season of Advent was officially over on Christmas Day, almost like to break any fast you may have of abstention of that sort of thing during the Advent time. But essentially, long story short here, it's an excuse to party and drink just before Christmas.
And traditionally, it's done with friends. So it is... it is like a night where you go out. It's also like in some places, I know different work hours, but the most of the places on the East Coast, everything closes between 5 and 6 o'clock on Christmas Eve. So this is the last night the bars are open. it's the last night that there's any of those things happening. So a lot of the waiters and waitresses, and this tradition started in Newfoundland, this is traveled across most of Atlantic Canada. There is celebration. So for example, last year I went out to watch some of the juniors games, went out with some of my buddies and our wives, and we were watching the game, and we're like, we were over at our local bar, Big Leagues in Colby Village, and they were like, can we get this? No, you can't. Can we get this? No, you can't. What do you have? And they're like, duh, duh, duh. And they had like half of their usual stock. Between half of their drafts are gone, three quarters of their bottled beers are gone. I'm like, and cans. I'm like, what happened here? Tibbs. They're like, we had a bunch of people come in on the 23rd and literally drained the kegs. I'm like, awesome. Yeah. And the lady was like, yeah, I literally was able to like pay off my credit card debts on tips that night.
Yeah. I would not be surprised. So yeah, it's, I've actually had, there was one year, I'll tell the story now. I had a neighbor who was also from Newfoundland. We shared a driveway with, so we would go over to their house every year on Tibbs Eve. And, even when my son was really, really small, we would take the baby monitor over so we can kind of listen to him, because we're literally, feet away from our door. So there was this one year we had this lovely Tibbs Eve party, and we must have had some sort of rain event or something. And I remember getting up the next day and noticing a leak in my roof. So my neighbor, who had thoroughly enjoyed himself the night before, crawls up on my roof on Christmas Eve, where Santa should be to bring things down the chimney. He's up there trying to tar down my roof to make sure this leak is prevented from future. So, but that was a Tibbs Eve, Christmas Eve type thing. I had to go to the store and pick up a turkey, and he's up on my roof. So, yep, that's
damn. That was,
yeah, yep.
So my family is from rural Cape Breton, and we sometimes would go up. A couple of times we did Christmas up there, but we also did Christmas here. The tradition was always like, when we were little, we'd go to early like church, but my dad would stay behind and was not a church going guy. So we did pie. We did rabbit pie. And my aunt, who is, by the way, to this day, a vegetarian, makes a fantastic rabbit pie. So if, for those of you who don't know, rabbit pie is essentially, it's usually a mix of meats, something like pork and beef, because rabbit is kind of gamey and can be a little greasy. So you mix a couple meats in there, and the pie is generally just like a traditional, not a sweet pie crust, but a savory pie crust. And so that would be cooked. The other tradition we have in my family is the tradition of Christmas pranks. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
So we grew up pretty like lower middle class, lower class for sure, somewhere in that section. So sometimes things would happen. When I was six, I was wanted a Nintendo Entertainment System, and my parents were like, let me know that there was none available in Nova Scotia, and that I was getting the G.I. Joe base or something like that. And I remember being pretty upset. I remember opening up the present and almost in tears, like, this was not what I wanted, but you know, I should be trying to be grateful. And sure shooting, it was that NES classic with the zapper gun and two controllers, which I think I played pretty much until the damn thing was unusable, even after I got my Super Nintendo. But it was, or like, my parents ran out of wrapping paper one year, and so my brother wanted one of those 3 foot high Ghostbuster headquarters, their headquarters with the head, the slime and the whole thing. And so they couldn't wrap it. So they decided they were going to do, we did a scavenger hunt around the house, and it was hidden in the closet. And so by the time we got back, it was in front of the tree. It was a Christmas miracle. When you're a kid, you believe lots of crazy things. When my brother and I got older, we had a rule in our family. So Greg, you go down, I don't know what you do with your kid, but my parents and my wife did the same thing. You could open your stocking, but you couldn't open any of the gifts.
When was that? On Christmas Eve?
On Christmas Day.
What?
So on Christmas Eve, Okay, hold on. I'll explain it. So on Christmas Eve, we opened one present. It was usually pajamas. So we put the pajamas on. We go to bed.
Okay.
Wake up at 7 a.m. So if you got up before 7, you would be told, go grab your stocking, go back to your room, play with something in your stocking. And usually there's a toy, there's some candy. You get your sugar on. You're like, you're good. So my brother and I realized that, well, there's nothing preventing us from getting up early other than the clocks. So then I was like, being the arsehole that I am, well, what if we change all the clocks? So we moved the clocks ahead an hour. So we told our parents at 6 a.m. that it was 7 a.m. and they looked up and saw their clock was changed. They went through the entire house. So we did everything we normally do at 7 o'clock at 6 a.m., a whole hour early.
Right.
So we opened up all the presents. My parents were like, you guys are really good this year. You didn't get up that early. And, you know, because we got up at 5:30 and opened up our presents and opened up our stockings and then waited for my parents at 6. And then we were fine until, what do you do on Christmas morning in Canada? After you open up the presents and you do, and you're like killing time waiting to, while you're getting the turkey and stuff ready, you turn on TSN and watch the SportsCenter special.
Oh, see, we didn't. No. We would turn on our Christmas lights, of course.
Yep.
And then, it was usually like the Disney World thing that I would turn on Christmas morning, right? Like the pre-recorded, like it's Disney holiday. Yeah.
My dad liked watching that hour long. They had a special, was like highlights and things like that for the year. Yeah, he would watch that on Christmas morning. So my brother and I realized very quickly, dad's going to turn this on and it's 7 o'clock, which means it hasn't started yet.
That's funny.
So we both looked at each other. It's like, we're going to go try these video games downstairs. And we wandered away. And that was when my dad clued in that we had had him, that we had done that. My mother once got only gift cards and gifts and like things for Christmas so she could go Boxing Day shopping.
Right.
And my dad decided that we were going to put an alarm clock, a bell, weights, and we wrapped a box that was literally 3/4 of the size of the Christmas tree and pushed it next to the tree and put it under there a week before Christmas. And when she would walk over, there was certain spots on it that he had hooked up to a battery. So if it was partially electrified. Like it was a monstrosity. It binged, it banged, it made noises. It occasionally would vibrate. Like I have no idea. It was an engineering marvel and it weighed a ton.
Okay.
But it was empty and full of just cards. It was hilarious and man wrapped. So, and the only other weird Christmas thing that became a tradition in my family was we played a lot of board games and there were always Christmas scraps and not physical fights, but usually somebody got yelled at for cheating during some board game or because once you get 4 to 7 beers in, risk gets really competitive.
So, I can tell you some of my family Christmas traditions. When I was, I don't even know when this one started, but obviously I think I may have been like, you know, at a high school into university coming home for Christmas kind of in between. I think this is when this started. It may have been before this, but for some reason, we would, after Christmas was over, and we always had the big Christmas dinner at our house. Like, it was nothing for us to have 20 or 30 people there. It was nothing for us to have, like, a 25-pound turkey done for Christmas. Like, I would come home from school as a kid and find a frozen turkey inside my front door that someone had dropped off for us for Christmas dinner, you know, one of my father's friends or something, right? Like that was, and of course I lived in Newfoundland, all the doors were left open when you left the house. So, I mean, you know, someone may need to get in, right? So everything was left open. But after, you know, you've had the day, you're exhausted, you were up early, you opened presents, you ate the turkey and way too much of it, you've gone back for your second helping because you had it for supper for leftovers, you're now at a point where you are like just like this smidge above comatose, and you're sat down in the evening on Christmas night and you're flicking through the channels and you're trying to find something on TV, and for some reason without fail we always found Die Hard.
Yeah, yes. And
Die Hard 2. the two best Christmas movies. So, like, I mean, and I never watched It's a Wonderful Life until I got married. I've never, like, and I can't, that movie, I think, if I start it now, I don't think I'm going to finish it before Christmas. Like, the movie is that damn long. Like, I dreads every year that my wife is getting ready to put it on. But for me, in my house, yeah, Christmas movies, we would watch Die Hard on Christmas night. And, It's my dad's thing. And I mean, you know, Ed, Brad, as you know, and some of our listeners now probably know, like, my dad passed away a couple years ago pretty suddenly. And I try every year at around Christmas time or on Christmas night when everything has kind of calmed down and stuff, I try to flip on Die Hard and kind of think of him and how much he always enjoyed watching that movie on Christmas night. So that's one of the things that I try to do at my house, and my wife wants to kill me every time I do it. So...
Well, she can watch A Wonderful Life on an iPad in one room. You can watch Die Hard in another room. Or you can sit on the couch next to each other with your headphones in and both watch completely separate movies.
It's A Wonderful Life has to be watched before Christmas. She can't watch it prior to that. So it's got to be like, that's for some reason is her Christmas Eve. Mm. I don't know if I've ever told you the story of one of the Christmas Eves we had here. So this happened... Oh, I would say my kid now is 13. So I would say probably 8-ish years ago, give or take. But my parents had come up for Christmas and we did a evening mass, myself, my mom, my son, and my wife. We went. My dad didn't go. My dad was never, you know, a church guy anyway. But we went on to mass and came home. So we're probably getting home. Let's say it's 8 o'clock in the night. Okay. In Newfoundland, a traditional Christmas Eve meal is some sort of fish. It's fresh fish. It's something. For whatever reason this year, we had decided to have one of my favorite things. And Brad, I don't know if you've ever had it, but it's cod tongues. Ooh. It is the tongue of a codfish, and it's typically dredged in flour and then fried in oil and crisped up, and it is just absolutely delicious. One of my absolute favorite things. So of course we as a family are sitting down to this meal at 8:30 in the night with a 4 or 5 year old. Okay. And we're all eating the same meal. So this is fine and good. We have supper. He gets ready for bed. We put him to bed. And at this point, we've not wrapped any presents yet for the year. It's Christmas Eve. We're going to wrap our Christmas presents to have under the tree for the next morning. So he may have been downstairs 15 minutes. And I don't remember how it happened, but one way or the other, either he calls out or whatever, but he tosses his cookies all in bed because, of course, this heavy fried cod tongue sitting on his stomach as a small kid at 8:30 in the night, 9 o'clock in the night, did not sit well. So strip the bed, put him in the bathtub, you know, clean them all off, try to get him ready for bed a second time. Make the bed, put him in the bed, and get him back to sleep while we're upstairs trying to, you know, some of us are still upstairs trying to wrap presents. He gets sick a second time.
Mm.
So redo this all again. And at this point, my wife is downstairs with him and staying in bed. So I have to get my mother out of bed to come out and help me wrap presents because we are now this far behind on Christmas Eve trying to get it. But yeah, we basically, you know, got our kids sick off cod tongues on Christmas Eve because none of us had the bright idea to say, maybe we shouldn't do that.
Maybe the deep fried food for the 5-year-old was a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we always had fish on Good Friday. Typically, like a fish and brews was often a popular thing, But my dad would always cook. So growing up in Newfoundland, we always had multiple meat with every cooked meal. You'd always have salt meat, obviously, with boiled with the vegetables. You would, you know, Christmas would always be a turkey, as was New Year's. But Christmas Eve, Dad would often cook a roast of fresh meat, we would call it, usually beef or pork or something. And that's what we would have later in the evening on Christmas Eve. So we'd have supper at like 5 o'clock with the fish. And then like 9 o'clock at night, we'd start picking at whatever meat that Dad had cooked. And then that just goes in the fridge till tomorrow to go with the rest of the meal. So that was kind of our, you know, some of our food traditions on Christmas Eve.
It's interesting because it's like, I remember the, just like we had a lot of fish as well. I mean, it's a Cape Breton thing. But yeah. Like lobster would be nothing like the, yeah, on something like not New Year's Day, but New Year's Eve, you get fresh lobster or some other kind of fish. It's like, it's just around. Like to this day, if Greg and I drive and either of us drive for more than 10 minutes in daylight, we'll run into some guy with a truck who's just, and it sounds so dodgy when we say it this way. There's some dude with a truck, you bring cash. Some of them even have like the little tap machine set up and you buy fish out of some guy's truck. But the reality is that dude has gotten up at 2 or 3 in the morning. He's been out in the water. He got his fish that day.
Yep.
He may not be the guy selling you the fish. It might be his wife. And he's in bed. He's already cleaned his gear and he's gone to take a nap. And she's gone into town to sell the fish.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's that is kind of common occurrence here. It's really interesting for me because that wasn't common occurrence for me this time of year in Newfoundland, because our lobster season is like in the spring of the year, like in that May, June time frame, Mother's Day. But it's not, we never had a fall season. So like that wasn't a Christmas fish or, you know, product that we would have. So yeah, no, for sure. It's certainly something Nova Scotian.
In rural Cape Breton, on the side of the island my mom's from, it's the spring. And in the other side where my dad's from, it was the fall. And here in the city, what it is that the seasons are rotated around the province. But people just truck them in. Like, it's like 3 hours pretty much from anywhere in the province to get to the main city. And they sell some of their stock to places like Clearwater or to, which is the local lobster place, to Sobeys and Superstore and the other chains. But some of the guys, when the stores charge like $5 or $6 for the fishermen, it's like, we'll buy you $5 a pound and you can sell it to the guy, straight to the customer for $6 a pound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if we go to Sobeys, we don't pay $5 a pound. We pay 10.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not paying $10 a pound at Sobeys either, because it's probably closer to 15 right now, because I don't even know what the cost of lobster is currently this year. I haven't bought any.
No, neither have I, not recently. And you know, that's not true. The one that we have that's sitting in my freezer that was shelled was, we got it. It was one of those ones where it was cooked and it was like, you know, it was the last day, but we're going to throw it into a fish chowder. So it's one of those. Yeah, I cooked it right away. It was one of those, please take it home and eat and cook it today. So I cooked it, shelled it, and then it's sitting in my freezer ready to come out into the fish chowder mix.
Yeah, it's like $12.50 a pound right now at the wharf.
That's not so bad. And so when you're getting it from $8 a pound from the guy from the truck, you're like, yeah, that's a really good price. And honestly, that's the best way. Like if you're in small town Nova Scotia or I'm sure Newfoundland, you just go down to the wharf. Like you literally could have the guys come in and they're selling them right from the boat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was this happened a couple of years ago. We did a New Year's Eve event with some friends, and one of the friends there was a lobster fisherman. So he went out on New Year's Eve during the day, picked up his lobster, you know, checked his pots, brought in his lobster, asked him to see if he could get me a couple of lobster because my wife was working New Year's Eve and wasn't getting off. So she couldn't come to the kids fireworks show we had at like 8:30 in the night or whatever. So he picked up, you know, he had a couple lobsters saved for me. And he's like, yeah, they're just in the back of my truck. And when you're ready to go, just go grab them out of the back of my truck. So I go down, open the back of his truck, and there's these two lobsters crawling around the back seat for me to just pick up and take with me home. So we got the water on and you know, a boiled lobster on New Year's Eve, these couple of lobsters that they had picked up right from the ocean earlier that day. And yeah, they were good to go.
So, Greg, I have a trashy Christmas story for you.
Okay.
So my father realized that I was not very handy, which is unusual in my family. Everybody else in my family is quite handy. They all have trades, and I got my uncle's an electrician. My great uncles were engineers. The only one that wasn't was my grandfather, who was a salesman and a barber, but still a trade, accountant by trade, actually. So it's like all of these like tradespeople. I am not a tradesperson. My brother's a tradesperson. My father's a tradesperson. I am not the tradesperson. So my dad thought it was like, well, we got to, but I wanted to be. So he's like, tried to meet in a couple different trades and realized he needed me to work. So my trashy Christmas story is that one of my jobs when I was in university and late high school was that I worked for my father. And at that point, my dad was running garbage for an apartment complex. Before he became the foreman, he was the truck driver. So plowing snow, which meant that I would get in this truck with him and shovel. So like he'd plow something and then I'd get out of the truck and shovel it out. Or I'd be left at the end of the street and he would like, I'm going to go plow the parking lots. You got the steps. And I would shovel the going rate was $7 an hour when I started, maybe $7.50, which wasn't, which given that minimum wage was $5.50 at the time, felt pretty good. And so I did that, but the other job was the garbage. So we would do Christmas Day. And I got, instead of my usual rate, which I think was $7.50 at that point, I got 10 whole dollars an hour. And my job was to get up in the morning, get into my work clothes, and meet my dad at the truck in our front yard at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we would haul garbage for about 12 hours with paid lunch. And we go home and have supper at the end. So we stop at Harvey's for lunch and probably two Tim stops along the way for coffee. And because if for those of you who don't know, we're in Dartmouth. So the two places we worked were two sets of apartments in Dartmouth. The dump is across the harbor, across the bridge, and about 15 minutes outside of town in a part called Timberley, Tentallon. So it's a solid 30 minutes in traffic. The good news was that the dump was open on Boxing Day, but we don't have Boxing Day shopping here. Our doesn't start until the 27th. So I would spend the 26th. It was us and like regular garbage men, because like they got Christmas Day, but no, those guys don't get Boxing Day either. And they make up their day off on Saturday. So like this year, they'll be off on the Monday. They'll start work on the Tuesday. They get double time on Tuesday. And then they'll be working all the way through Saturday, where they'll get time and a half on the Saturday in lieu of the holiday. But it's the, so we hauled garbage. Like, because what would happen was, like, people, if you live in a small apartment, which these were, people would take all their stuff after Christmas and walk down to the dumpster and just whoosh. And so there would be days where it was like, Greg, I'd get there and there would be like, I couldn't find the garbage bin. So the garbage bins were in like these small fenced off areas, and there was so much garbage that I couldn't get to the dumpster. That's and I had to start throwing garbage, like just whoosh, whoosh. And then every once in a while you'd pull off like 20 or 30 bags and you'd be like, oh, there's a couch here. Hey dad, I need, come out of the truck with me. We're going to throw a couch in.
Oh my gosh.
And the biggest thing I'll never forget was the Christmas that he had gotten that summer. They had added a hydraulic lift, because when I said he had a truck, it was literally like a truck with these like sides on it that were made out of wood. And eventually they realized there was they had so much garbage for in the regular run of the thing. They got a hydraulic lift. So we didn't have, so I had to load the truck, but I didn't have to unload the truck. So I used to, before it was like, you get there and it's like, oh, by the way, now you have to get up in the truck and like take shovels and push it out of the truck, or get up there and like throwing everything out of the place. It was insanity. On the other hand, like when you're a university student and minimum wage is again, $5.50, like on that day I would clear. Yeah. Because they weren't taking taxes, because I was working, I was casual. I wasn't working full time. So I'd clear the full 120 for the day.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'd be happy with that, right?
Yeah. And my boss would give me 20 and our boss would give us $25 each for lunch, which is like, that was lunch and coffees for the whole day. So basically, I mean, it was a long day, but it was And so I wouldn't have worked a full-time gig until Christmas, and then I would have that. And I was always on call from the age of 15. It's funny because now I work for a church and I work Christmas too. But I a couple Christmases I shoveled snow because I was on call for the Christmas day. So I got paid for 4 hours of work, whether it snowed or not. That was just so that somebody would come in and work. And there was a couple of times it did snow. So I got out and yeah, I would go into work for 3 or 4 hours and I got paid for the four, whether I worked them all or not. And if I were, it was one Christmas, I worked 8 hours because it was like, somebody's got to shovel the snow. It's like, yeah. It was something I never take for granted now. Now, the cool thing was that day we went down to, there was only one like nearby restaurant open. It was McDonald's on near the work on Portland Street. And so we went up there for lunch and we were like dressed up with, we had our shovels and our gear. They fed us. And so it's a little known fact that a lot of the fast food restaurants on Christmas Day, they feed police, medical personnel, and then people, like if it's a snowstorm, they feed the guys who work out in that weather. They'll just feed them. And it's not I don't think it's a well-known thing, but I give a lot of, it's like a very nice gesture that, oh yeah, we're going to feed the people that are working today because... Yeah, God bless them. None of you are with your families and you're here busting your ass. So the rest of us, you know.
I remember, I think it was Christmas Day or Boxing Day, I remember going to that McDonald's there on Main Street. But it reminds me, and maybe this might be the last story we tell, Brad, but I don't think I've ever told you this one about the time that my dad watched my kid for us on Boxing Day.
Okay.
So my mom and dad came up, and this is Boxing Day 2012, because I just had to look this up and make sure that I was I understood where I was. But this is Boxing Day 2012, so my kid is not quite two yet. My mom and dad come up, and one thing happened and my sister got sick. So my mom ended up flying back home. My dad had to drive back home, but we had bought tickets to go see Les Miserables in theaters when it released on Boxing Day, December 26th. So dad is like, look, I already got my ticket. Like, I'm not going to go change the ferry and stuff. I'll go on the 27th and I'll start to drive home. You guys still go to your movie. Like, okay, cool. So I had never been to Les Miserables. I saw a stage performance of it, but I'd never actually, you know, we'd never done the whole Boxing Day or Christmas movie thing. That was never kind of a big thing for us, going to the theaters on Christmas Day or Boxing Day. So we were kind of excited to go see this one and this theatrical release. But here's the problem. My dad, I'm not sure how I'm the well-rounded individual I am. I'm not sure how well he cared for me as a child or my siblings, because dad could not get past and change a dirty diaper. So we went to this movie, and my dad, who was not a religious man, spent all 158 minutes of this movie praying to whatever deity he believed in that my kid would not blow out his diaper and be stuck with dad screaming, and just praying that he could get through us gone to the movie. And yeah, so I will never forget now, whenever I think of Les Miserables, I think of that day and think of dad just being thankful when we got home. It's like, oh, thank God he didn't take a crap. I was okay. I managed to survive. I'm like, cool. I mean, you kept the kid alive, which was the probably more important part. But yeah, great dad. Good job.
So rather than ending with both trashy and crappy stories, I do have a pro tip for everybody who is getting ready for this Christmas if Christmas is probably already passed by the time Boris has released this. So you can still pull this trick off on the 31st of December, and you can hold on to this one whenever the stores close. Do you know what I'm about to talk about?
No.
No. Okay. So I discovered this working. So I mentioned I work for a church. My first year working for a church, I was feeling kind of like, oh, I can't believe I have to go into work. Like, I got to work the next 2 days. And I was just feeling really crappy, which is hilarious considering I now had a job. I got paid really well. I didn't have to touch garbage. So I was like, I will wander. My wife was out Christmas shopping, like last minute Christmas shopping. And we were at the condo that we lived at right across from Asobi. So I wandered over. I got some, made sure we had alcohol for Christmas. And I then went over to the Sobeys. And I was wandering through the Sobeys and I realized, oh, these chicken wings are really marked down. Normally stuff gets marked down at a Sobeys deli, but these weren't like old. They were just there. And I'm like, why is this marked down? And finally, the deli guy, I'm like looking at them very perturbed. Like, is there a catch? And he's like, there's no catch. We have to get rid of everything. What? And he's like, we have to get rid of everything. And the light bulb went off my head. Oh, the store's going to be closed for 2 days. They have to clear the shelves. So to this day, if you go to a Sobeys or a Superstore or a Loblaws or whatever grocery stores near you, anything from the bakery, the deli, and even things like steaks, sushi, like any of the stuff that they need to get rid of, if it was made in the last day or so or packaged, it has to go. They can't throw it in the freezer.
Yeah. So,
dude, hit a Sobeys.
Yeah, that was one of Dad's treats as well when he would come up here, because I mean in rural Newfoundland we didn't have as much options. Now he worked in a larger center, so he would often go to the stores and stuff and do the shopping. But like being able to go around on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve and seeing what he can find on discount at, you know, Superstore or Sobeys or whatever, and finding, you know, like a primer roast down, you know, half off or something like that. He's like, look, there's your New Year's. I may not even be here for it, but here you go. Here's your New Year's food already done.
Well, and became our thing. Like we would buy, like, I remember the year we got a pizza. It was like that was lunch on Christmas Day before we went for turkey dinner. It was like, what the hell? We got a pizza. Like it was last year, it was sushi. And now it's the same thing. We do the same thing. It's like a game. It's like, it's fun going into the store on boxing on New Year's Day or New Year's Eve or on Christmas Eve. And if you've got all the things you actually need and just wandering through. Yeah. So that's my pro tip. If you're looking for you're a bachelor maybe, and you're like, oh, I'm going over to my sister's tomorrow. You know what you do? You buy the pie from Sobeys. You take it out of the box. You put it in the homemade pie plate that you bought from the Dollarama next door. And then you wrap it with a little bit of cellophane. And then you bring it over. Nobody even knows that you bought it from Sobeys.
Yeah.
You've developed a new COVID skill. You learned how to bake.
Exactly.
So there's our pro tip for you is... enjoy bargain hunting on it. And it's fun. It is totally, especially if you can walk to the store and you don't have to drive. Like,
I mean, that's one up, right?
Oh yeah. Anyways, enjoy, find something. And if you do this on New Year's and you find this podcast before New Year's and you go and do it, you know, tag us in the group, send a picture of, look at this. I found this, like, look at this 50% off roast. Like that is my wife and I joke with some of my colleagues, my friend Jen, who works with me. We're like, we think our children think that 50% off stickers is a brand name that we use.
Oh, that's funny.
But that's it. That is a very I think it's a maritime tradition to be cheap as shit. Like that's who we are.
Oh my. Oh my. Well, that's it, Brad. That's it for us tonight.
Yeah. And so thank you for listening to this. We hope that, some of you are working between Christmas and New Year's. Some of you probably are driving to see family, and hopefully this, like WWE put on some sort of crazy Christmas special on for Raw this week and for SmackDown. Not that we're complaining, because frankly, there's tons of wrestling you can watch. And if you have access to the networks and things like that, there's tons of stuff. But we thought we'd just throw a little bit of Christmas cheer your way. So thank you for listening. And thank you for the poetry. We will thank our Greg, who did an excellent job editing the fine work of Mr. GPT, shall we say?
Yes.
And thank you to Boris and to all of you. We hope that you're having a wonderful holiday season and that you're enjoying time with family and friends and loved ones, and that you're Well, that your glass is full of joy and cheer and maybe just a little bit of eggnog.
Just a little bit.
Unless you're lactose intolerant, in which case the dairy-free eggnog's not terrible.
Well, I mean, it really depends on how much rum you have in there of how terrible it is, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, like anything tastes better if it's well lubricated.
That's what she said.
Good night.